What's up?
What's up? Happy 5th of July.
It is the 5th of July. Fifth. They're still doing fireworks outside.
Yeah. And we have a little guest.
What's up, Mikey?
Hi.
Since we're doing a... We're doing a kid movie today. Yeah. So we decided to have family a kid on the movie. Show, man. A family movie. A really good family movie.
Yeah.
You've made a couple of small appearances on the show.
Yeah, where I act like Batman.
Over the years. But we're actually going to let you sit in with us for a little while and maybe give your perspective from a kid's point of view on a few things on this show.
Yeah.
So it should be fun. Are you not, you're not too tired to make it through? We are recording late. This is past your normal bedtime.
I think I'm going to sneeze.
You think you're going to sneeze? So don't sneeze. Yeah. So how's it going, guys?
It's good.
I'm good.
I had a lot of meat and beer yesterday and... Didn't buy any fireworks? Oh, just at the house.
No.
Yep.
I didn't invite jack shit for July 4th.
He didn't invite
me either.
You always blow up stuff.
I didn't do anything this year.
Man, Dad, I told him. I told him.
I was like thinking back. Is that true?
I told him to drop me off at your house.
Really?
So I can do some fireworks, and I can kick Jake's butt on Dragon Ball FighterZ.
We didn't have any fireworks. Who watched the...
Because I'm better.
Yeah, I didn't buy any fireworks or do anything this year either.
I was at my parents' yesterday.
I did the American thing. I made hot dogs, but it boiled water, not on the grill.
Hey, if they're good hot dogs...
Yeah, they were. They were.
They were Oscar Mayer beef. So.
There you go.
Yeah. With ketchup and cheese, all that, and chili. Well, we didn't have chili, but...
Yeah,
we had the basic condiments.
It was a low-key July 4th this year.
Yeah, okay. Which usually when Uncle John, my Uncle John, your brother, whenever he's not in the hospital, which he is right now, because he got a kidney.
We sometimes do some of their house.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, we go to their house and they do firecrackers.
But I was also extremely exhausted from work. We work in the grocery business. Holiday weeks feel like 2 weeks rolled into one, generally. Like
I figured time would go by quicker.
The days do, but the work just feels like you feel like you're doing twice as much work. Like yesterday, I would have sworn it was Friday, and then I'm like thinking, oh, fuck, I got one more day. I had to go to work today, and today wasn't as bad. It is the payoff on a holiday. The day after is usually a little bit easier most of the time when you work in the grocery business.
They're
at my mom's.
But for me, whenever I'm at my grandma's, it's slow.
That's kid life, man.
And it feels like I'm the Flash, and I'm going so fast that everything is slower than me.
You should bring like a bundle of comic books with you.
Yeah.
I like to keep my comic books in the best shape.
And he takes a Nintendo over there sometimes.
But she barely lets me play it. Because she thinks video games are not good.
Oh, well. Nanas are going to be nanas.
Yeah. And she thinks Spider-Man is ultra-violent. Because she read some hater who's like hardcore DC on the internet.
That's awesome.
And I'm sorry if you listen to the show, you hater. Whatever you said about Spider-Man, it's not true. It's not ultra-violent.
No. But I'm glad this holiday week has now come to an end.
Yes.
And we'll see Spider-Man tomorrow. We'll have Spider-Man talk here in a minute and download this, because I think one of us here at the table has already saw it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he lives that free and easy life.
Oh, and I have some Spider-Man talk.
But yeah, so good stuff, man. That's all I got as far as an intro for the show. It was a very exciting week.
Oh.
Work.
Let's
get into a download this, where we tell people what we watched or streamed this week or checked out at movie theaters. Or other things. Since we were talking Spider-Man, we'll let Long start, man, since you were able to check out Far From Home already.
I thought it was a sufficiently well-made movie. To me, I mean, it was good, but I wasn't into it like I was for Into the Spider-Verse or Homecoming or Spider-Man 2. It just felt like, I don't know. I'm sure you guys will like it more than I do. And I think if you're a Spider-Man fan, you'll love it. But when I watched it, it just felt like I'm just waiting for something to happen, you know? And I just didn't feel like I was connecting with the movie. Maybe it was a long day at work or what, but...
Yeah.
No. It ticked all the boxes of, you know, a Spider-Man movie should, but... I just didn't feel it. I give it a C+. Non-spoiler. But that's just me, so I could be wrong. Maybe it's just... my mindset sitting in on the theater.
And he just recently watched Spider-Verse, which is really, really good. So it might be one of those things, too, you know?
Yeah.
Because I read a review very similar to that that said that coming off of Into the Spider-Verse just feels like a... They kind of said the same thing. Like, they liked it, but they felt like it was a step backwards after Spider-Verse. And I felt like that was kind of unfair to compare it to an animated film, which is completely different concept. You
as
know?
Far as story quality, right. Character quality. I mean, Tom Holland was good, I think, but Zendaya was okay.
Yeah.
MJ was okay. Mysterio was a little, I don't know. I can't wait to hear what you guys think of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean.
I've heard the post credit.
I helped curb any expectations.
I've heard the post credit scene, though, is boss.
Oh, yeah. Definitely stay till the, even after the credits finish rolling.
Yeah, I guess there's two of them, apparently, yeah.
Yeah, one mid credits and one at the very end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and which basically fixed a lot of plot holes in the movie. I've never seen an end credit scene that fixed holes in the plot holes before.
Really? Usually it just sheds light on the next film or the next phase.
It does. It does both at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah. And you'll see why when you watch the movie. So, yeah. Can't wait to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. I'm going to see it tomorrow, which is 2 days ago by the time people hear this. Look what I did there. I went back to the future and then to the past. Yep. I did that. On the podcast.
Interesting Stranger Things reference.
Yeah, and I saw Stranger Things first two episodes. It's only 8 episodes this season.
They've all been 8, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll get more into it as I watch it. And what else was there? Just those two.
Okay.
Yeah. We watched the first 3 episodes.
Oh, nice.
Yesterday, and I heard pre-show you were saying it was a bit of a slow start for you, and it picks up in the 3rd episode. I felt the same. Like, I really enjoyed the first 2 episodes, but I felt like nothing happened. And finally, in the 3rd episode, stuff does start happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I've heard good things. I know, Matt, you watched the whole season already. Mm-hmm. I've heard that it's much better than season 2. But through 3 episodes, I'm enjoying it. But I feel like it's starting to feel a little same old, same old. Like, okay, we've guy possessed again. Will, the Upside Down's connecting to Will again. I feel like at some point the Duffer brothers need to give us some answers and not wait till the 5th season to answer it all. Or they're going to fall into that Lost trap or these other shows that go on and they end up with too many questions and then you end up unsatisfied at the end. And that's what I fear for this show. Because I think it's a really, really good show. But I hope to God it doesn't fall into those traps of anthology shows that end up asking themselves too many questions and they're not able to answer them all at the end.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel Stranger Things is starting to do. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you've watched the whole season already. Yeah. Maybe it does answer some things.
As a coda to my thoughts on Spider-Man, I enjoy Godzilla more.
You're just a Godzilla. You're getting paid by Toho, aren't you?
I wish. You like Godzilla, right, Mikey?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I think he's a boss.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's part of Toho's plan to have secret Asian spies that come in and they just promote Godzilla. You should have seen him.
I can't wait to see
Comic Palooza. He was Kong promoting the left and right.
Oh yeah, that's. Yeah. I think that's gonna be.
No,
there was never. They meant there was rumors they were gonna push it back, but they never officially.
No. I'm glad too. Just finish strong. That's all I have to say.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Do it while there's nothing else playing in March.
I think part of it was the domestic box office wasn't where they wanted it to be for King of the Monsters, but it's playing well overseas, so I think that's why they realized, okay, let's not push back Kong vs. Godzilla.
It's made right now $373 million worldwide.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's okay.
Yeah, it's playing very well overseas. It had a really huge opening in Europe and
$170 million budget.
Yeah,
you know, so you need to make at least $320 million, you know, to make it all back. So
yeah,
not counting, well, that's included marketing.
Right.
So it's $370 million, so it slightly more profit.
So
I love box office math.
Can you talk now? What have you watched or streamed or what have you done? You played some games.
Yeah, gotten my Nintendo. And I got 2 new games. Well, Madden 2005.
Yeah, old school Madden.
Yeah. The graphics are awesome. Hold up. Well, they hold up still on that. And I got Batman Brave and the Bold. It's way different from the Wii version. And I already finished that, and the ending is boring. It's not boring. What I thought it was. I thought the ending was going to be Batman and Joker having an all-out battle, you know?
Yeah.
Because the first mission to it is where you fight Joker, but he escapes. You know, Joker always escapes. You don't capture him fully. And it's just, at the end, I just am like...
Well, I have you on the show. Last week, me and Long gave our little reviews of Toy Story 4. What did you, from a kid perspective, think of Toy Story 4?
I thought it was good. Really good. I kind of want them to make a fifth one, but I kind of want them to stop there.
You felt they ended it pretty good?
Yeah, but if they do make a fifth one, they should make it where it shows... It doesn't show the other toys. It should show what Woody and them do over, after a few years. Mm-hmm. And then, Woody starts to miss his friends, and then, they adventure, and they go see, how their friends are doing after a few years. But then they find... I think, they should do, where they find out that Bonnie is older now, you know, Andy, and then... They get put, and then Woody wants to go find...
It's actually not a bad idea to jump several years in the future and see where...
And Woody wants to go find and, visit his friends.
Yeah. Cool. So, Matt, you finished Stranger Things Season 3, man.
What
is your non-spoiler review? So we don't spoil things. So people are still watching. Just hit yesterday.
It was rough watching it all in one day. I got through 5 episodes before dinner time, and it was 9 o'clock before I realized, oh, I haven't finished Stranger Things. So I looked and I saw I had 3.5 hours worth of runtime, and I was like, well, let's start it now. And then I had to take some time off and put the kids to bed. So that's why I bumped into midnight time.
You know, it would have been okay to watch it the next day. It would have been okay.
Maybe, but I had to finish it. I felt like at episode 5, it's rolling, man. It's rolling. It's engaging. At that time, I feel like that's whenever you need to be prepared to binge it the rest of the way, because you're just going to want to keep on watching. It just, there's holes and questions that get filled in, and more things that unravel, and more character development. Of course, these characters seem to evolve and change every season as they get older, as they should. And then at the end, I think everything ties up really nice, and there's, of course, a little cliffhanger at the end, just like there is in every Stranger Things season, and really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's... I don't know if it's as good as season 1, but you know, it definitely makes an argument that it's at least number 2.
I've heard it's better than 2, because I like season 2, but I also felt like season 2, really nothing really happened.
Yeah.
You made it through 8 episodes, and it didn't really do anything to move the story forward.
The last half of season 2 really picked up.
Yeah.
Except for that one side episode toward, you know, when Eleven was doing her thing.
With the punk rockers, it was kind of weird.
That was pretty fun. I did like her as a bad girl, though. Like, acting out and stuff.
Bitchin'. Rebel,
bitchin'.
Yeah. Well, Matt, kind of like when you're saying it starts rolling in episode 5, I think, in episode 3, I think it starts rolling there. It's getting better.
Up.
Yeah, I feel like it starts picking up in episode 3. And
episode 3 is pretty good. Because it ended on a little bit of a cliffhanger. Michael wanted to watch one more. I was like, well, no, we got to go to bed.
It ended in a cliffhanger. It ended.
So.
Yeah, I just...
It ended where, Will's he's back, and I'm like, please, one more.
If you're driving a car, episode 3 is you pulling out of the neighborhood and onto the feeder. But then 4 or 5, you're getting onto that exit, that entrance ramp. And then by episode 6, you're on the highway, you're cruising.
I looked ahead. I saw the finale is 1 hour and 20 minutes long. So they went for broke on that.
Wow.
So that's kind of good.
I didn't realize it until I was like, man, how long is this
episode? So it's an episode and a half. So they give us a little bit more. That's all we really watched this week, Stranger Things.
Yeah. I know you were going to talk about this in your news about the 2 new suits on Spider-Man, but can I talk about it?
Later in the news.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
But yeah, that's really all I watched this week. Between work and me coming home being tired, I didn't really watch much else. So that's okay. So let's get today's feature film, which is from 1999. 20 years old, this movie. Brat Bird's, I think, an anime classic, The Iron Giant. A movie that didn't do well at the box office when it came out due to a lot of Warner Brothers not really marketing the film properly.
Yeah.
People want to blame The Sixth Sense, but it wasn't really The Sixth Sense's fault because Sixth Sense wasn't an immediate box office success. You know, it became successful through word of mouth as people talked about the twist ending and they went and saw it. This was just more of a bad timing on Warner Brothers' part, just simply not marketing the film. It came out.
They rushed it, too.
Well,
they cut the budget in half and cut the time in half. They originally gave him 5 years, and they bumped it down to 2.5.
Yeah, but it's still, but it doesn't show. I mean, it's amazingly animated. It's still,
really.
You know, it had a late, early August release, which is not always good for films, you know, especially anime film. People are getting ready to go back to school. People aren't going to movie theaters with their kids, things like that. So it was just a time ago. But over the years, the film has garnered a cult following and has found a home on home video through Cartoon Network, places like that air it. And it's become a quite a popular children's favorite, family favorite film. I like the movie quite a bit. I think this is a really, really good animated film. One of the last of the classically hand-drawn animations. It does use CGI for the robot, for the giant, but most of it's hand-drawn. I think the first time I saw this was probably, I probably didn't see it in theaters. It was home video. Discovered this movie and just thought, man, what a really, I don't remember exactly when I watched it for the first time. I remember watching it and thinking, wow, this is a really, really good animated film. How come no one talked about this?
Yeah.
You know, and I know when the first time you guys watched it were.
Same thing, home video. It came out, and I thought it looked cool because there's a big old robot on the front of it.
Right.
And so my mom bought it, and I was like, wow, this is great. Don't remember seeing anything about it in theaters, but saw it on the shelf and, you know, instantly, you know, found a home for it in my house.
Yeah, I remember renting it, you know, me and my brother watching it. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Nice.
So, yeah. I really love the Cold War, you know, the Cold War setting, and the whole Red Scare thing going on, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, definitely some callbacks to Superman and all that.
Superman, space movies, aliens.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a Norman Rockwell-ish.
Norman Rockwell.
Similar, you know, style as far as character designs and stuff like that.
Mm.
You know, but very good movie. What about you, Mikey? What do you think?
Well, of the first time I saw it was when you first bought it on Blu-ray.
A couple years ago.
Yeah. What year were you? 2019?
A couple years ago.
2017.
They were released on Blu-ray. Oh, but yeah.
I know, but I remember I...
we had it on DVD.
I remember, like, the first time I saw it was, like, 2014. When I first saw it, I can't really remember, but I remember when we got it on Blu-ray, I remember it. I enjoy it.
What's your favorite part?
My favorite part is towards the end when he's like evil because he's being shot at. I think that's cool. It's like a giant robot,
which is a nod to War of the Worlds.
Yeah,
with the three things coming out of his head.
Oh, well, I just think it's cool because it would be cool if like there's a Superman comic and like that there's a robot similar to that. Like, if there is one out there.
It's heavily influenced by the Max Fleischer Superman cartoons. So in those cartoons back in the day, Superman fought a lot of robots in those. It wasn't so much Lex Luthor and Brainiac and bad guys. It was more Superman fighting robots and bank robbers and alien creatures and things like that in those old Max Fleischer cartoons.
And, like, I just imagined that part. Like, I imagine if it was, like, a Superman comic, that would be Superman flying down and punching the robot and the robot blasting him, and I just...
Well, you know, Brad Bird always... he's always wanted to make a Superman project, and of course, he went on to make the Incredibles films, which became his superhero thing, and I think he's gotten away from wanting to be Superman now, but back in the 90s, he really wanted to try to make a Superman film or do something animated with superheroes, and Warner Brothers approached him with the... He had read the book, The Iron Man, which is this is based on. I didn't realize how old the book was.
Very
like
old.
68, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the story that the writer, Tom Hughes, right? Was the writer the same name as the... He wrote the book to cope with his wife's suicide and give his kids something to cope with, the idea of a robot that could rebuild itself. And the book is quite different than the movie.
Based on a man that is broken, but still together.
And Brad Bird got a hold of the book, and he liked the idea. He actually approached Warner Brothers initially with the approach of, what if a gun had a soul and was able to not want to be a gun, in a way, or not want to be a weapon of of destruction. And
I think that was inspired by his sister.
Well, yeah, and, by his sister that was died by gun violence.
Yeah, from her husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Brad Bird, of course, the powers
of dark.
Yeah. He had some dark beginnings, but Warner Brothers, obviously, they liked the idea that Brad Bird pitched, and I think development started on this in 91, 92. It took some years to get the script right and get things ready. And then whenever, I think around 95, they were ready to go, like you said, and he told them, you know, it's going to take 5 years to animate it, and Warner Brothers ended up cutting the budget some and speeding it up, and they wanted it done sooner. Because it was kind of a weird era for this film to come out, because Toy Story had come out already, and A Bug's Life, and Pixar was bringing in the new age of animation, and I think that may, I wonder if that has something to do with Warner Brothers saying, like, you know, let's just get this film out there because we need to move on. Let's start doing CGI animation, things like that. I wonder if behind the scenes maybe they had something to do about it, with it, you know?
Well, what was I thinking?
How does he follow up with that?
Right.
Is there anything you didn't like about the movie?
I didn't. I remember. Well, you were talking about, like, how he had an idea, like a gun had a soul. And in the movie, when he's like, I'm not gun. When he's talking, I'm like, and then you just say it, and I remember it. I'm like, yeah, he does it because he saw the deer, and he wanted to, like, be the deer's friend, but then get shot.
The movie has a lot of deep themes in it that deal with, doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a human or a robot, that your perspective on life is what you make it. Even if this robot doesn't truly have a soul, the robot was still designed to be good, because there's a sequence in the film that's in the Signature Edition they added in where he dreams about his homeworld, as he came from a very violent homeworld that was torn apart by war, you know, and everything. And I don't know which edition you watched, but there's a brief sequence in the Signature Edition where they introduce that.
Yeah, they remastered and added more scenes to the movie.
Yeah.
I guess in 2015. See that.
Mm-hmm. It's only about 3 minutes of footage added in the film, but it gives you perspective where the robot comes from. Yeah. And he realized that he was trying to get away from war, you know, and he doesn't want it, you know. And this robot wants to have a choice. He meets a young boy, Hogarth, who sees him for what he is, and he wants to give him that choice, you know. And Hogarth will do anything to protect the robot. And he befriends Dean, who also wants to help him.
Harry Connick.
And, which was voiced really well by Harry Connick Jr., who also sees what Hogarth sees. And it's funny how they play that. At first, you think maybe Dean is like that bad boy, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like not, but he ends up believing in Hogarth.
That's
and
what I liked about the movie.
Yeah. It's not what you think.
Coffee.
Yeah.
the squirrels in his,
beginning?
At the beginning? Yeah. Or you mean whenever he's at his place? And,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's like, oh, it's a giant robot, huh?
You talk about these deep themes. Another one is, you know, Hogarth, you know, he's not Superman. He is a weapon, but it's his choice to be whatever he wants to be.
And
it doesn't matter what someone says, what your past was, what you look like, you know, you can be whatever you want to be. And Hogarth chose to be, and the giant chose to be Superman.
Yeah, and I was thinking, like, Hogarth taught him, like, when he saw the gun, he taught him that don't touch those, are like, those are bad. And I think that's why he knew that he was a giant weapon.
Showed him a little humanity, huh?
Yeah, but then I think the thing that kept him from thinking bad was Hogarth, because Hogarth was not evil.
Is it kind of like whenever the Joker killed Lois Lane and then Superman turned evil in the the Mortal Kombat version of the comics? What's that? Injustice, in the Injustice line. Of course, this was made before Injustice.
Oh yeah, I have number zero. Yeah, number zero, where it's first, and like Joker made him look like it's Doomsday,
It's funny is, you know, Vin Diesel ended up voicing the giant.
Instead of Arnold.
And this is Vin Diesel pre Fast and Furious. Yeah, but they also Peter Cullen, Sean Connery,
really?
Frank Welker, and James Earl Jones were all considered.
Oh, James Earl Jones would have been good.
So how does Vin Diesel beat out all those? Yeah, that's some iconic voices there.
Well, Brad, he wanted to go different.
Yeah, I can see, Peter Cullen not wanting to, not wanting to have Peter. You don't want the giant to sound like Optimus Prime. You know, I can see that.
I wouldn't mind.
Of course he wouldn't.
Yeah.
But
Optimus Prime.
Interesting Brad Stark. So he fell in love with Disney when he watched The Jungle Book. Mm. And he even met with execs as a kid, and they thought they weren't going to see him again. And he came back, and to his dismay, all the veterans and opinionated artists that were there and taught him were gone. And he said people there, they were afraid to challenge. They just wanted to play it safe and keep it G-rated. And, you know, he... you know, was very opinionated, and his bosses sat him down and said, hey, you know, why do you always have to open your mouth? Why can't you just, you know, do your job, do what we tell you? Well, and he says, look, if you feel I'm in your way of doing your job, then it's your job to fire me. And they said they ripped the patch off of his shirt, because I guess his shirt had like a Disney patch. They ripped it off and told him that he was a disappointment, and that it had been a disappointment, you know, him being there, and he left. And he started working with Turner, and then Turner got bought out by WB, Warner Brothers, and that's how he came on. Before that, he was trying to pass off animation for The Spirit.
He was trying to make an animated Spirit film.
Which probably would have been better than the film that came out, you know, years ago.
Oh, God, I sat through that boring-ass movie.
Yeah, no one picked it up. It looked good. I saw the test footage of it. It's pretty interesting.
Are you talking about the one with the horse?
No.
Spirit,
the one with the guy with the tie. He was supposed to be dead.
Remember that about the Will Eisner spirit?
Yes, Will Eisner.
Oh, okay, the spirit, superhero?
Yeah, Brad Bird wanted to make an animated version of that.
Yeah, and so, you know, Warner Brothers brought him on, and they had a few projects, and they showed him this project of, I don't think it was exactly called The Iron Giant.
Right, not at that point.
It was going to be a musical.
Yeah.
The original was going to be a musical, and he's like, you know,
it was called The Iron Man at that point, but maybe. It wasn't like based on the book. It was like a musical. Yeah.
And he thought, you know, what can I do with this person? What can I do with this? And, you know, he came up with the idea without even bringing it to his bosses. He goes straight to the board and says, what if he's a gun, but he doesn't want to be a gun?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, they're like, okay, you have our attention. And his bosses were, like, freaking out because he's like, I didn't run any of this by them, not even a whim of it. And he's like, it's the 50s or 60s and 70s, and Sputnik is in the air. 60s. Sputnik's
the movie
takes
place in 1957.
Yeah. And,
man, we're all wrong.
Russians, you know, and military and robots and a kit. And then he says that one of the directors is like, nudging the person next to him, like, write this down. And sure enough, they wanted him to work on it. And, you know, he had a rough crew to work with. They weren't very talented, he said, but they were, in his interview that I watched in the Giant's Dream, which is about an hour long, hour and 20 minutes long, tells you the whole journey to how this all happened. And just really, really cool how it, you know, became a ragtag group that kind of put it all together. But, you know, with Brad being at the top of it, being classically trained and, like, drawing really, really good animation, like, not trained.
He animated the espresso scene himself.
Really?
Where Hogarth drinks the espresso and he's talking real fast. It's really funny. Brad Bird animated that himself, that entire sequence, yeah.
Because if you see his, like, test footage for The Spirit, his animation is so fluid.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's not, you know, fast, you know, scenes where they're cut and then different angles. He said that he didn't want to be like that, like Disney was.
Yeah.
Because they're very, he felt Disney was very safe, and that Disney could have their princesses. That was his quote. Disney can have their princesses and everything. They can be G. We're going to be PG. We're going to be different than Disney. And so I think, you know, Warner Brothers really won, you know, bringing him on.
Mm.
And even though it didn't do so well in the box office, it ended up being a cult following.
Then he went to Pixar.
And there were talks of a sequel at one point, but Brad Bird has recently shot that down, so there's no point at this point in time to do a sequel. It doesn't need it. The film stands fine on its own. It's funny.
Reboot.
It was
reboot. CGI reboot.
It's funny that Pete Townsend of The Who actually has a producer credit on this film, because the musical version of this was originally going to be based on Pete Townsend's music
Wow.
and stuff. So because they That means somewhere in the version that we have, they must have used elements from that musical for Pete Townsend to get a credit. Even if it's, because you know how that works is, even if it's just a small story credit or something they took from the musical version and Pete Townsend was involved in it, that's why he's on the credits as a producer in this film. That's kind of interesting. Pete Townsend, the Who, of all people, has a producer's credit on The Iron Giant because he was involved in the very early stages when the film was almost a musical. So
that's interesting.
You know. No, that's probably one of the last people you would think that would be.
Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Aniston is the mom.
Mm-hmm.
It's Hogarth's mom. I forgot. I didn't realize that until.
And they wanted Arnold Schwarzenegger originally to play the government guy.
Oh, that would have been.
Yeah. It's a robot. It's over here. It bombed the dude.
Has he been in any animated movies?
Well, he's got the animated project coming out, remember?
Yeah, he has the animated project coming out, but I don't think he's ever done an animated character.
Yeah, I don't think he's done a voice.
Unless he's done a Simpsons voice.
I'm still waiting on that Jackie Chan Schwarzenegger trailer to drop.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. That's a movie I didn't think.
Because Schwarzenegger wanted him to join an Expendables movie, and Jackie Chan's like, he's like, well, no, I don't want to be a part of this movie where someone shows up and we have to pretend to be excited that they showed up and they have a little part. He's like, let's us do a movie together and make the whole movie about us.
Yeah.
He's like, then that'll be fun. And so I get, and Schwarzenegger, you know, I mean Schwarzenegger, Stallone didn't touch it for a while. But I guess he did because I didn't know it was in post-production or...
Should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool.
By now it should be. Yeah.
Well, how do you rate this movie, Michael? What do you think about it overall as a classic animated film and a kid's film?
1 through 10. What score would you give it? 10 being best, 1 being bad.
I would give it over 10.
Over 10?
Over 11? An 11?
No. Way over.
I think that... Maybe like I find
1.5?
It,
15.
I find it... I think it's a really super enjoyable film. It's a
solid movie.
It's heartwarming. It's also... It can teach you a lesson if you look at deeply the meanings of it. It is Cold War-ish, but not in a way that's in your face. You know, the elements of what they dealt with in 1957, things that people had to live with. But it also gives them a sense of wonder. This giant comes to this small town, and it rejuvenates this town, and that's something there happened. You know, I think it can be a bit of a tearjerker a little bit, too, a little bit of emotion in the movie. But not really a sad emotion because it's kind of a happy film when it's all said and done. And I think it can teach you, if you listen to it, to be yourself and you can be anybody you want to be. And I think the scene at the end of the film when he sacrifices himself and he flies up and he says Superman, I mean, that describes the movie right there, I think, in perfection. You know, and that's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Like
you said, tons of elements in the movie, a lot of themes, and I think it makes it a different kind of a family movie, a different kind of animated film.
Yeah.
And I think because of those elements, because they're a little bit more grown up, that's one of the big reasons why it got a PG rating.
Mm.
Plus, he turns into, you know, one of the walkers from, you know, the War of the Worlds. But
a lot of discovery in the movie, too. About discovery, also.
Yeah. And oh, man. The part where he puts Choco Lax in the ice cream.
Oh, yes.
That was my favorite part.
Yes, that is so funny. And then he makes him, like, after he threatens him, and he's like, you stay right there. And then when he goes in the bathroom, he just runs out the door.
And then he has to use the bathroom the whole
time. Yeah, and he's like...
That must have been the thought you were thinking.
Yes.
Because it's like it just blurted out.
Yeah.
So you're just trying to contain it.
I'm like, that's me.
I give it a 9.
That's me doing it to you.
Yeah.
That's me putting chocolate.
It makes me watching it though really does make me miss traditional animation, and I think that's one thing why I still appreciate like Rick and Morty and shows that you still get traditional animated stuff on television, but in theaters now you don't. Mm-hmm. What was the last thing that was traditionally animated in theaters? Maybe Disney's Winnie the Pooh, which was the first movie I ever took him to a few years ago. You know, was Quest for Camelot? I thought that Quest Camelot was
that
was years
ago.
That's
the reason why. That's the reason why Warner Brothers was not marketing as much.
Because because
Quest
for Camelot
didn't do so well.
So, yeah.
So they're like, well, if that animation didn't do so well, we shouldn't do so much advertising for but Iron Giant.
I think everything comes around again. You know, we'll get a time where there might be a renaissance of traditionally drawn films, maybe.
Whenever I lost my train of thought because you were talking, I remember, like, I would have liked the musical. I would have thought it would be cool if they, like, made the Iron Giant a musical.
Only girls like musical.
I think they should make Terminator 2 into a musical.
Yeah, and have Arnold Schwarzenegger shooting down people while singing.
Yep.
Only Matt would want Arnold to sing.
Oh, you know, I think his funniest movie is Batman and Robin, Arnold.
Okay.
Because it's...
I was just thinking about that. Yeah, and whenever he's like...
Matt could quote the whole damn movie,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, all the dad jokes. What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. One day you'll watch Kindergarten Cop and you'll have a difference of opinion. Kindergarten Cops is his funniest movie, I think. Or Twins.
Is that PG-13?
It's probably R.
No, I think True Lies is his funniest movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think...
My host is getting tired.
I guess we gave our final thoughts on Iron Giant, but a really good movie. That's was it on Netflix? But I don't know, on Blu-ray. Remember I told you last week it might be on Netflix? Because it usually is. It must. You know, Netflix is weird. I'll take it off for like a month and they'll put it back on. So who knows? So let's get in some news this week, man. There's a bit to talk about. Let me get my little trusty news thing here. So there's been a lot of Little Mermaid controversy this week. And a friend of the show, Frank, likes to be paranoid and say that Disney pays people to not put bad publicity out about their stuff. That's not true, Frank. But, you know. But, you know, so they cast Ariel in the live-action Little Mermaid, and it's, her name's Halle Berry, but not the Halle Berry. And she's a young black actress, and, so the internet, of course, is uproar because you're changing the race of Ariel.
Yeah, but she's fictional.
So yes, that's what I said. It's a fictional character. It doesn't matter. Yeah. And if you're, it's 2019, if you're at the point that you have a problem with the race of a character being changed, then you need to seriously check yourself.
I still think Lois Lane should have been black.
Really? Hey, they made Perry White black, you know? It's as long as the basic traits of that character are there and the character is brought to life on screen from the written page of...
She's a good singer.
Yeah, and the way it was written, it's all about... what's my word I'm looking for here?
The spirit.
The spirit of the character, yeah. You know, and it shouldn't matter what color they are, whether they're black or Asian or white or Mexican. It shouldn't matter.
And you were part of that movie addiction group.
Yeah.
And I saw, the first post I saw was from a black dude that said, I'm tired of Disney being PC, and I'm black, and I'm tired of this crap. And someone's like...
See, to me, that's probably someone just trolling and trying to stir up shit.
And then he kept furthering his point, and he's like, it's not true to the source material. And then someone who had read the book is like, well, if you're complaining that her skin color is not true to the source material, get this. After Eric marries her, he dumps her, leaves for another woman, and she commits suicide. So are you mad that that's...
The actual Little Mermaid is very dark.
And he didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
And I was like, hey, you can't have it both ways. You know, you can't leave excerpts out and then, you know, complain
exactly
about source material.
So, yeah.
I say, it had a very
dark ending.
Let it happen. Let her be cast. Disney's going to cast good talent. I think the movie's going to be great.
Oh, I think so.
I was trolling the people who were crying about it, and it's like, you guys have too much time on your hands to be wasting your energy on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
election 2020, people.
At the end of the day, it's a movie. You just go and
that's
enjoy
what matters.
It.
You know, like, yeah, it doesn't really matter, honestly, because there's other, like,
unless Ariel was an actual fiction, actual non-fiction person,
yeah,
right. An actual mermaid,
yeah, but
then yeah, we that, would that, have to really yeah. respect the
yeah, but it doesn't really
mermaids?
Matter. No. It doesn't matter because, like you said, they made Perry White black, so it technically doesn't really
and
matter.
One day we might have a black James Bond, and it's okay,
and we might even have a black Batman or a black Superman, you know, or maybe DC can go a whole nother way. Can make everybody black.
Yeah. You know, even any new Bond that takes on the role says that it is astronomically hard to find that character and act on it while dealing with the social pressure of it. And if, you know, you can't imagine, you know, if the first black Bond was, you know, had to go through all that plus him being the first black Bond.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's...
It would take a strong presence.
Yeah.
You know?
So I'm like, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Man, so a huge surprise. This was big, man. The Walking Dead, the comic, ended this week.
I saw that.
Robert Kirkman, they didn't officially announce it. They went as far as soliciting the book the next several months. Of course, a couple issues ago, they killed off Rick Grimes in the book. So people thought maybe the ending's coming, and Kirkman kept saying, oh, no, I've got a whole bunch of stories to play. Man, in the way, this is brilliant marketing, but it's also kind of like very different in today's world. Today's world, we know things are coming. Everything's handed to us through the internet. You know it's ending. Mm-hmm. But it's also, in a lot of ways, the way the comic came about. It sort of showed up in comic stores. It was a real low print run. It got through word of mouth. People started to say, hey, this book is really good. You might want to read it. And then, of course, the AMC show hit, and The Walking Dead was one of the biggest things in the world for several years there. So it feels like, to me, that Kirkman ended it on his own terms.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's pretty neat. It's not helping people get the book because the scalpers went and bought them all up very quickly. It's already going for $25-$30 online.
That's ridiculous.
Which isn't, that part of it's not fair because if they would have known it was final issue, realtors would have ordered more. You know,
they got for Comixology.
Yeah. Yeah.
Digital comics.
Yeah. But I think it's kind of, in a way, I think it's kind of neat, man, that Kirkman did that. You know, just, that's it. We're done. 193 issues.
How was he able to avoid the 3-month, you know, solicitation on that?
I guess they just cancel all orders. I mean, there's no loss to it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, the solicitations, no, right. they don't spoil anything at all. It's just the covers.
Yeah, usually. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, but interesting. I think it's kind of cool that he did that. And I went ahead and I read some spoilers about how it ends, and it seems like the book ended very appropriately. You know, I guess I can spoil a little bit for anybody who's going to read it, but basically it time jumps several years later, and you see where the characters are several years later, and the world goes on, and they just have to live with the zombies, which is kind of how I figured that book would end. You know, And if you go back and read some interviews with Kirkman, they were saying that he dropped several hints to this a long time ago, that the book's probably not ever really going to end. It's just going to be left open-ended, which is the way it probably... There was no way to really end it. I think Kirkman knew the hype was so big that you're not going to be able to end a book like that and satisfy everybody.
Speaking of comics, you know, the showrunners of Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
They're, I guess, apparently showing up at Comic-Con expecting a victory lap.
Really?
Because if they don't have a social media presence, because quit social media, and I guess they're expecting people to shower them with love, but man, people are like getting their knives and ready,
sharpening
their pitchforks when they show up in person.
Nice.
For Comic-Con, you know, because it, you could tell that they were just, the writers were just like, we're just gonna force everything into this ending, and rush it everything, and you know, and piss people off at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tragic.
Huh.
Worst ending.
Well, we know in 2021 that Taika Waititi's live action Akira movie is coming. And
Taika Waititi?
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I always fuck up his name. And I apologize. And he did announce that, you know, casting process is underway as they're getting things, and he is planning on casting an Asian cast for this film. But some other news came out of Anime Expo this week that was unexpected. Katsura Otomo, who wrote the original manga and directed the original film, is working on a sequel, animated sequel. It's going to be a television.
Akira.
Yeah, to Akira. It's going to be a television animated sequel, which...
I thought it was a movie.
Is it a
movie? Yeah.
It's just a movie. It's a movie, and it's going to be done by Bandai Namco's Sunrise Productions. So that kind of came out of nowhere. You know, he's 65, 66 years old now, and he's kind of secretly kind of just been working on this, and apparently it's not too far away. It may be out in the next year or two.
Wow.
So he must be pretty far along on it. So I think that's kind of cool. You know, I always thought that, you know, because the manga goes on for a long time. From what I understand, the first movie is only about half the story. There's a lot more after that happens when Tetsuo blows up or whatever it is he does, and Kaneda goes on the ramifications of that battle. So we'll see where they go from there. So I think that's kind of a neat thing that's going to happen. So, I'm trying to read my handwriting. Oh, Spider-Man, Michael, there's two new costumes in the game from Far From Home this week for people that have Spider-Man on the PlayStation 4.
I played it, and it has the new upgraded suit that supposedly Nick Fury gives him, and the new stealth suit that looks like Spider-Man Noir. And I played as both of them. You don't get no suit powers.
No, but they're free downloads in the game.
Yeah, and but they're just like the suits in the movie. They're cool, and well, if you the upgraded suit actually gives you bonus in fighting, like a free bonus. Mm-hmm. It's not like an upgrade, but it's a free bonus where like it gives you extra strength.
Yeah.
And the stealth suit makes you quieter, so that's too good to like. Benefits of those
suits. That's one thing I have to say, that it's kind of cool that they have continued to update Spider-Man 6-7 months after it's out.
Oh, yeah, and then...
So give out some new costumes and
stuff.
And
didn't you... you don't have any tokens for it, but you did get, like, the classic comic book suit.
And there's a lot of rumors going that they're not done with the DLC yet, which might make people mad that that bought the complete edition, but there's also rumors that the new DLC, that they're going to give it to you if you own the complete edition.
Wait, we own the complete...
Yeah, we own the complete edition. Yeah. So that's been a rumor, too, that they're working on more DLC for the game. So, we'll see.
You know, I hope, like, if they... Some more DLC... It would be cool to make a DLC.
We haven't even played the first DLC yet, because we have to finish the game.
Yeah, okay. But, it would be cool if they make, like, Spider-Man and Captain America mission.
Yeah.
Or Spider-Man and the Avengers. Yes, they said the Avengers wouldn't make it in it, but I think if they're going to update it, they should update it with the Avengers, with something. The new game coming out, you know? Like, I think once the new game comes out, I think they should do that, make, like, a DLC for Spider-Man. Because if you... Probably all Spider-Man players who play this know that there's the Avengers Tower.
Mm.
Yes.
So we're slowly getting more and more. Of course, Disney Plus. Man, you know, I just clicked it. We're like 2 months away from Disney Plus. That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
So coming out in September. Now that we're in July, we're only a couple months away from Disney Plus. Warner, of course, is working on their Warner Media streaming, which, you know, may see DC Universe move to Warner streaming. We're slowly getting more information and what's coming. And apparently there's a Gremlins animated series coming to it called Secrets of the Mogwai. Or is how do you say it? Mogwai?
Mogwai?
What's the thing called?
Mogwai.
Mogwai? Yeah. So this kind of...
Little Gremlins.
Well, there have been a lot of rumors that Warner Brothers had secretly been working on a Gremlins 3, but it looks like this is the project that they have copyrighted for. You know, because people look up copyrights and they say, oh, Warner Brothers may be working on this, but it turns out that it's an animated project. Maybe it'll revitalize Gremlins, and maybe we'll get a... I think Gremlins at this point, I don't think you do a legacy sequel. I think you just reboot it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't think you need to do a Gremlins 3.
Sorry, guys. Disney Plus has it all. So
yeah.
Don't even try Warner Brothers. Don't even try Universal.
Well, don't you think that's why Warner Brothers is kind of crapping their pants, thinking, man, Disney Plus is big. We need to do something. So yeah,
they don't have anything. Just...
Warner's pretty big archive, though.
Yeah, but who's going to spend money for Disney Plus, Netflix, CBS,
Access?
It is going to be overrun of everything.
Yeah, and just like, you know, it's like you might as well just stay with cable if you're going to spend all that money.
Yeah.
Hulu, you know, and I'm like...
Yeah, and then you have to have unlimited internet to run it all.
If you want Disney Plus and if Warner Brothers does do the...
It's coming. They're doing it.
Okay. Well, when they do it, they should just delete all those other stuff and just get Warner Brothers and Disney Plus.
Well, you're going to start seeing like Disney Plus already announced that there's going to be package deals where you can have your HBO and all that together. And that's going to be what it's going to be. Warner Brothers is going to have to partner with someone like Netflix and say, look, you get both of these for this much money. I think that's the only way they're going to compete with Disney Plus. They're going to have to come up with a package deal.
Yeah.
You know, just like what Disney's doing with HBO and all that. You know, you get a package deal. Otherwise, you're going to fail. You know, that's the future of streaming television.
Package deals and lots of value. Makes their new thing. Never mind, I lost my train.
We're just talking about news. I'm tired.
We wanted you
here for Iron Giant. That's all. You don't have to talk about the news.
So, that's all the news I got.
I just wanted.
Coca died. So we did Gone in 60
seconds. We talked about that in the pre-show. We're like, that's normal news.
It is an icon, an auto industry icon.
He made the Mustang.
If this was a car model. Podcast.
But.
It's not just a car.
Showed in a lot of franchises, which we talk about on the show.
You Fast and the Furious, talk about.
Gone in 60
you
Seconds.
You talk about.
We talk. Yeah.
Dodge Challenger. But yeah, it sucks. Icons are dying.
That just means they're old.
Yeah.
Let the pest die.
Okay, Rey.
Yeah.
Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren.
Move on.
So. Take your card, your second Star Wars card.
I know, yeah. Right?
Yeah, we'll call that bitch out. He thought an A-Wing was a B-Wing. Your Star Wars credit card is gone, bro.
I knew what it was. I had the picture in my mind, but for some reason I thought it was a B-Wing. I shouldn't have said anything. I thought about it. I'm like, I should just play like, oh, yeah, that's the one I was talking about. But I decided to, you know, be honest and transparent. And I got
that's like if someone says the Enterprise is in a Star Wars film.
No, it isn't. That's like saying, I thought the Enterprise was a Kelvin.
They show this, there was this mashup gif of Han Solo, of Captain Kirk kissing Princess Leia. And then, like, them flying off in the Enterprise with the Star Destroyer chasing after them.
It's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, Star Wars cred revoked.
Star Wars cred.
So let's preview next week's film.
How does he earn it back?
Oh.
I'm not playing with your lightsaber.
Oh, you'll play with the lightsaber.
Yeah. Okay. You had to make it weird.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to 1979 next week and talk a guerrilla, very much a guerrilla film. Very man, this was so. Shot with no permits and shot at night a lot with light set up because... They were doing it.
Taxi driver.
No.
Taxi driver.
But we're gonna talk George Miller's classic Mad Max, the original film.
In the not too distant future, there will be no civilization. There will be no heroes.
They say people don't believe in heroes anymore. Well, damn them. You and me, Max. We're gonna give them back their heroes.
In the not-too-distant future, there will only be madmen and the main force patrol. Is a main force officer trying to protect his family and stay alive. His only weapon, 600 horses of fuel-injected vengeance. Mad Max, the maximum force of the future.
I thought you knew that.
What's
before
a
the show.
Common theme in
we
this
were texting
film?
Earlier.
Taxi driver also had.
Oh.
What's a common theme in this film? Cars? Last of the V8s?
Dang it.
You know, what does that have to distill this? We're still not a car podcast.
Yes, we are.
But
what you did.
but a film that introduced Mel Gibson to America. I mean, George Miller to America, who went on to make a lot of really good movies.
Introduced a different style of filming car chases.
Yeah, and an iconic character introduced the world in Mad Max and became a franchise of its own. We've already covered Fury Road on the show, which is arguably one of the greatest action films ever made. But it all started with this one in 1979.
Yeah.
This is one of the few movies that... I saw after I saw it sequels, you know. I think I saw Road Warrior, Thunderdome first before I went back and watched Mad Max. So it should be a fun one to talk about. It's a really cool movie. The original 1979 Mad Max next week on the Rebel Radio Podcast. But that's all we've got today. Go to therebelradiopodcast.com and subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. And we appreciate that. Follow us on Twitter at Rebel Radio Pod and find us on Facebook so you don't miss a beat of the podcast.
That's right.
And Michael, thank you for coming on the show and hanging out, talking to Kid Film.
Yeah, I might be here. I might come on the show maybe. Aren't you doing a few?
I don't know what the next movies are yet. So,
but I know you're putting in some.
Sure, you'll be back
again. I know you're gonna do Ghostbusters.
Just say thank you for having me.
Okay. Whatever. Sure.
This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
Oh yeah, this is long.
And me.
Me, okay, good. And Michael. Me.
Yeah, Michael.
And then, as always, thank you for listening to Rebel Radio Podcast. Remember, just go there and do it.
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.